It's Dave Mimo Weekends. Today's program features Jimmy Mack
and Claire Marie. An adventure-seeking explorer who manages to balance work and play, who makes the most out of every moment, a nature lover, a theater goer, a music fan, an experienced collector, a long time in corporate America, even longer as a dad and an entrepreneur. Jay Hummer joins us this morning. It's an absolute pleasure to talk about his book, Every Day is a Field Trip, Escape Routine, Find Fun, and Live a More Fulfilling Life. On this Father's Day weekend, Jay, happy Saturday and happy Father's Day tomorrow. Welcome.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and happy Father's Day to everybody out there as well. It is an absolute joy and pleasure to be on your show, and it's obviously a bigger joy to be a dad. And so it's a great weekend to talk about having fun.
It's a great weekend to talk about making every day a weekend to a large degree, because we had a call earlier on in the show from a regular caller named Flying Dutchman, who always calls and says he's living the dream, and he described himself as a workaholic, but I don't think that's entirely fair. He loves to work, but he uses the time on the job to find joy everywhere he can, and when he gets home, he built a deck that then turned into an extra room. He's a big griller. He finds adventure in every place, and in many ways, he is exactly the target audience for this book, but also people who tend to kind of dream of doing all the things they want to do and don't realize they have the chance to do them even on a daily basis. Can you talk about the inspiration for putting together this book and why you put it together the way you did?
Sure. Well, first, we wanted people to live their best life. And remember, we only have one. So it's kind of one of those, what are you waiting for? You got to do it now. So it's 36 chapters of what I call fun, relatable stories. And in each story, there's a little bit of motivation. And so for one, persisting in your goals. And like you said, the people who are sitting down waiting, they may need a little motivation to get out there and do it. And then we have these fantastic field trip challenges at the end of each chapter that hopefully will get you out there and enjoying life every single day, not just on the weekends, but every day.
You know, this is going to be a fancy pants moment. There is a famous theorist named Guy Debord, and he wrote a thing called the theory of the derive, and it's the word derive, but, you know, with a French accent in it, the derive, in which he kind of encourages one or two people, even as many as three, to, as they navigate the experience of daily life, to often, like, let something catch their attention and kind of go drift off and take a long look at it so that each one of them can experience it in a different way and then kind of come back together and objectively discuss what they experience without leaving the daily contours of their life. And as I read this book, I kept thinking, this is the practical application of that in many ways, because it's asking you, doesn't tell you not to do your job, doesn't tell you to kind of throw it all away and head off into the great unknown and become like Jeremiah Johnson. It simply actually encourages you to keep your peripherals open to all the possibilities of what the extra space in your life might mean, other than, like, you know, eating pork rinds and watching a binge television experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You really, thanks for reading it. Thanks for really understanding. That is the whole point of the book, is, to get folks out there enjoying it. And if you think you're already enjoying it, maybe we can challenge you to enjoy a little more and do some things that you haven't experienced yet. And when I was writing the book, I had my daughters and my lovely bride do the first edit, to kind of bring me back in. And I was really happy, because what they did is they started going on field trips. And I said, perfect. That's what this is intended for.
So let me ask you a question. Since you brought Helen up, your lovely bride, can you kind of give us, this is a great story where the kind of approach you take to life, the field trip approach to life, is actually in many ways part of the equation that actually gets you a chance to meet and have a couple of great first dates with your lovely bride. Can you tell us those stories real quick?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I was lucky enough to meet her. We worked at the same company, and there was a big event, and we worked in the World Trade Center in New York City, and the whole crew was going to go out afterward, and they all bailed except for Helen and I, And we got to go out and enjoy a nice meal down at the concourse area of the World Trade Center, which, of course, sadly is no longer there. But I made a bet about where the subway station was that I won, which means I actually lost the bet, but I got to take her out again, which was the bet. And so that was the start of something great, because she's a person who loves field trips as much as I do and wants to take them at a moment's notice or any time. And so I lucked out in that category for sure. And so many others, obviously, but since we're just talking there.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because we did a whole show about leaf peepers. And, you know, it's funny because the book, in many ways, it doesn't drift, but it does make these kind of causal connections that lead you to the next place. So Helen makes the decision to move out of New York, where she spent her whole life on the hustle and bustle, has to get behind the wheel of a car. But you really kind of find a perfect partner, because one day she goes out, looks out in your backyard up in the New England area, and she notices how spectacular all the leaves look. And, you know, you have a whole section on leaf peeping, by the way, that you kind of get into. But the idea is, can you kind of take us through the causal connections of, like, letting one thing lead to another, about exhausting the possibilities in one area, and then letting those possibilities, having been exhausted, open up the next couple of doors?
Yeah, because things do happen that way, Jimmy, right? They kind of just do. I mean, if you're out there, it's amazing what else shows up. And, you know, when I talk about leaf peeping, that, you know, the fact of the matter is I go up north into the northern New England in late September, and I make sure I spend a lot of time up there. Then I kind of start heading south, you know, and try to experience the colors as long as I possibly can. And, you know, if people, when I used to work in the corporate world, I would joke, you know, you could send me anywhere, anytime, just don't take me out of New England in the fall. And because I want to see that palette, it's because it's beautiful. It's a display Mother Nature is putting on for us. And, you know, so you know, that can lead to so many other things. You're out there, you experience something new, and it just does kick up, and that's life. And so we set the book basically in four stages. And, you know, the first is discovering field trips, because, you know, acting like you were when you were a child, right? When it was all about fun. You didn't wake up thinking, oh, you know, how am I going to pay the gas bill today? You woke up saying, I want to go out and have fun. It was about what can I do that's fun today? And then we brought it into building field trips into work, and then, you know, building field trips into your family life, which so often happens after. And in my mind, it should happen, you know, in conjunction with your work, and not just as a result of having had to work. And then my favorite is field trips that challenge yourself. Yes, thank you. I hope, I don't know if I ran off, Jimmy, but, I hope I did a good job in answering your question.
No, you did fantastic. As a matter of fact, because like I said, you know, reading the book in many ways, and I told our listeners and I told you that it feels in many ways kind of the literary complement to what this show often tries to achieve. I had the experience very recently of after the pandemic got the all clear, a colleague of mine and her boyfriend, the three of us went and did a Tough Mudder run up in Atlanta. And I will tell you this, that one of the things the book really does well, among many things, is that in those 36 chapters at the end, there is kind of a way to kind of go about planning the event. And one of the things your book really tries to do for people, and for people who are listening, many of whom understand what a pre-trip is, you don't just try to have joy in the event, but you try to restore joy in the planning of the event, to take a real kind of joy in putting together the trip you know you're going to take to make sure it goes exactly the way you want it to go. Was that an important thing? I mean, did you start off thinking you were going to do that, or did that become part of the design as you began to move through it?
Yeah, you know, I love to take credit when I can take credit, but I also love to give credit when I can give credit. And that was, you know, the famous Helen again. You know, that was her recommendation. And so, you know, we built it from there, and we did. We wanted it to say, hey, have as much fun planning this thing and enjoy going after it. And guess what? Enjoy it later on. That's what photos are, and that's what social media is, and pictures. And, you know, if you're doing it right, though, you don't have a whole lot of time to enjoy the pictures and the photos of the after, because you're already on to doing the next thing. And that's, you know, kind of how we live our life. We want to be moving all the time.
Let me ask you something. It hasn't occurred to me, and actually it does pop up occasionally throughout the book. Have you ever been in the midst of planning a field trip and then about halfway through the planning of it realize something else that's kind of in the radius of the field trip actually catches your attention more, where we're going to go to this museum, but the more you look at this museum, you realize there's a park next to it, or you're in a park and you realize there's a museum next to it, where you say, you know, we're going to do this thing, but man, this thing over here looks really good too. Since we're already there, let's start planning how to make that happen as well. Do you ever find that even in the planning, you tend to wander a little bit into a new adventure?
Yes. And my lovely wife would be telling me, yeah, all the time, Jay, that's what Jay does. Because I can veer off pretty easily and, oh, there's something over there. Let me go check this out. I mean, that comes from being curious, right? And not being afraid to go out there and find your way somewhere else. And that's part of what the book is about, is, you know, allowing yourself to be curious and allow yourself to get lost a little bit. Now, I don't want you to get lost in the mountains where you can't get found, but, you know, to go out there and to enjoy different things consistently and not being afraid to do that. And those roads less traveled are bringing you to some pretty cool places.
One of the things we also talked about in the hard break is that by both design and by the fact of kind of going through all these stories, it's impossible to avoid the fact that this turns into an autobiography of sorts, along with a great kind of blueprint for being a dad. We talked about that, and we'll talk about that in a second here on the air. It's also kind of a great blueprint to find out how to do for a living what it is you love to do, because you set off this kind of thing early on where, you know, as we all realized, you know, I realized that despite the fact that I was a pretty good catcher, I just didn't have the body, you know, mass to kind of stop people at home plate. We don't get to be major leaguers. You actually kind of lay out a really kind of great way to go about figuring out how to combine what you love doing with what you do for a living, but not just in the way of like doing the thing that you love doing, but the idea of putting yourself in a position at work where it might not be exactly your perfect job, but to create perfection within the job. And I had the same experience, the idea that I love conferences and I love travel, and the fact that I have this job allows me to do that, which I consider a perk. Can you talk about the idea of using field trips to actually then come back and reapply to the practical way of living?
Wow, okay, that was a tough one. I thought I was set up in a different spot, and you just came around, Jimmy, and got me. I think the key is to have passion for whatever you do, would be my answer. And that goes from your job to your family life. And, you know, when I was out there working hard and still am, I always would make sure that I washed myself of my job before I walked into the door. Your kids are only young once, and I wanted to live every single moment of it as much as I could, and to be there for them no matter what they were doing. If they were playing tiddlywinks, I wanted part of it. I wanted in, you know? And so if you leave your job on your face and in your mind all the time, you're not able to do that. So that was one thing that I promised myself every single day that I would do. I would wash myself from my job. I worked really hard. I was really passionate about it, but I wanted to be even more passionate at home as a parent. So coming full circle, I don't think it really matters what you do. It's just that you do it well. On our website, we have a blog, and the first blog was called The Inspiring Ones. And it was all about the great people in my life who happen to all be women. And I'm actually in a hotel right now where I worked when I was young, and I was taken from from my job at the front desk and talked to from the manager on duty, and saying, Jay, doesn't matter what you do, if you're going to be a garbage man, if you're going to be a radio person, which I was at the time, which is funny, but I was in the middle of a transition, you need to do it as well as you can possibly do it. It doesn't matter. Be the best that you can be. And it was a life lesson to me that, I need to be passionate about what I do, because if I'm not passionate, everybody around me will see right through me. And they'll know that I really don't care. And somebody knowing you don't care is not a good thing.
It's really cool. And by the way, guys, every day is a field trip, exactly like you think it's spelled. Everydayisafieldtrip.com. If you make your way over to that website, you'll see right at the top, it's very easy to navigate. There is a place where you can click on and read the blog and also read about Jay Hummer, who's joining us to talk about Every Day is a Field Trip, Escape Routine, Find Fun, and Live a More Fulfilling Life, which, by the way, all of you should have. It should ride along with you. You should just pick it up and check any of those 36 chapters. But to go back to the idea of leaving work and having home for home, then it's really, really cool then, because all of these field trips become these kind of cleansing spaces, don't they? I mean, the idea of having to plan for the field trip allows you to move out of work into a space where you can enjoy both the times you need to recharge your own battery on your own and the times you need to spend some time with your family. And in many ways, it becomes almost a device to kind of allow you to build a separation wall between work and home. Is that fair?
It's right on, Jimmy Mac. It is literally right on. People have accused me of not working for a living. They say, how do you do all this stuff? And this isn't just because of the book. It was, you know, in the past, people say, you know, geez, I don't know what you do, but you know, you're always out there having fun. And it's because you have the ability to cleanse and to move on and enjoy what you're doing. And if all you think about is the trouble that you had in the morning meeting, you know, or on the road. I mean, you know, guys on the road, you know, that's unbelievable how frustrating it can be out there with these people who can't drive. And if I hear a double honk, I'll know that you were talking about me. The guy wasn't driving well. But yeah, you need a cleansing, and that's all part of the game.
The thing is, too, is that, you know, you are, you know, it becomes almost a matter of practicing making perfect and, you know, Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours, because in the book you tell this incredible story about being trapped in an elevator of what you think is a fire and everybody else thinks is a fire. And then it kind of has this immediate, wonderful resolution where the fire department guys come in and they save you. You actually, despite the tension of the moment and the great kind of telling of the story, you do something almost immediately when you come out. You appreciate it as a story almost instantly, and I have to wonder if that's because you're attuned to being aware of that their experiences are all around you. Can you tell us a little bit about that and then the aftermath of that?
Oh, yeah. It was in Frisco, Texas at the Westin Hotel. I was there for a conference, and I went down for a workout, which I consider a mini field trip every day, and I do it every day multiple times. And so I just went down to the hotel gym and had a workout and didn't bring my phone. You know, I never brought my phone. I don't need it. I'm working out. And so sure enough, I get trapped in the elevator. And, you know, smoke is blowing and it's coming up and it's like, oh, good gosh. And I, you know, you've seen the movies. There's a trap door up top. Okay, I'll just climb out this trap door, except for there wasn't one, or at least I couldn't find it. And I'm having this conversation, which is kind of the funny story in the book, with the guy at the front desk who keeps telling me I need to use the stairs and get out of the elevator. And of course I couldn't get out of the elevator, but these guys, anyhow, finally the Frisco Fire Department comes and gets me out of there. And so, no, it was just a belt. And what happens when the belts break is they smoke. And so you think you're in a fire, but you're not, it's just smoke. You'll be fine. We'll get you out of here in a half hour. And so when we get out, I get down to the lobby and all of my colleagues say, Jay, where the heck were you? You know, everybody's out here. The whole hotel is empty. And I said, I was in the hotel. I decided to stay. And I had a nice picture with the Frisco Fire Department. And in fact, there's a photo of that on the website that has all the firemen. And I said, you know, everybody's bigger in Texas. These guys look like gigantic. Like, they look huge next to me.
They
I'm
do.
And so, you know, they were, anyhow, I called and asked their permission to put the picture in there, and they were quite happy to allow me to do that, and that was great. But yeah, I mean, there's so many of these little episodes in the book where, you know, I'm falling, getting whacked in the head, you know, bleeding all over the place, and just, you know, kind of tripping my way through life. But hey, they're adventures and they're all fun.
One of the other great things, too, for many of our listeners who know that we often have destination detours and we often interview people who are either state park or national park, rangers or tour guides, is that we like to give you guys specific destinations and places you go. One of the things the book does, very, very grateful to anybody out there who's a regular traveler, is it doesn't just tell you, go do stuff. It actually says, okay, so here are like places in the north, the northwest, the northeast, the southwest, and so so forth and so on, specific locales. And one of the other cool things is you kind of break down Massachusetts at one point, saying all the stuff you can do in regards to all these little towns throughout Massachusetts as a way of kind of modeling for what people should do in their home state. I was curious if there was anything, you know, you got so much in here. Was there anything you left on the table that you'd like to kind of add to kind of remind people that, and you make it really clear, you're not exhausting the possibilities here. You're opening up possibilities, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are enough field trips in this book to go on a new field trip every day for, you know, probably more than a year. I haven't added it up. I should do that just for fun. But there's so much more in life to do, and I'm still searching. I'm still curious. I'm still looking for it. And you know, every day, if I can find something new and different, I will. And that chapter was really about, hey, I'm going to write it about my home state, but why don't you write it about your home state? And why don't you look at what's there that you haven't done yet? And your even your city, if you live in a city, and I'm a guy that I always would get into a city, and the first thing I'd do is I'd throw my bags in a hotel and I'd go out for a walk. I just wanted to find stuff and see what see what was there, and kind of, okay, what am I going to do the next few days that I haven't already planned? And I think we all have the opportunity to do that and experience life at a much greater level. So yeah, there's a ton more, and you know, somebody else will maybe find it, and maybe I'll find it as well. Maybe we'll find it together.
The other thing is, too, is that there are two things in here that are near and dear to my heart, one, of course, of which is journaling, or at least making a point of taking copious notes about everything that's going on around you. You also ask people to rethink the way they look at stuff. For instance, and I was so kind of in tune with this. So when I go for a walk, I always actually, I walk every day. I power walk all over the neighborhood. I actually plan different routes so I will see new things. And often I'll know that there are things that are close by that I want to look at for the first time. It really is important to make the things that you have to do have an element of both surprise and also an element of first time joy, correct?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny that you mentioned walking, and one of the field trips I list, and this is kind of a side note, it's not like do this field trip, it was just one of many in one chapter, was if you're a walker, walk every street in your town. I mean, you know, every single street. So go on a different route every day, and it's amazing what you'll see. And obviously it's good for you too. So I'm with you. Getting out there walking is a great, easy way to jumpstart your day, or end your day for that matter.
By the way, I particularly also early on in the book, you made a point of touching on all the sculpture gardens, which, of course, if you're a walker, a sculpture garden is amazing. We live in New Orleans. You're talking to me right now. I'm in the GNO area. And with that in mind, that Best Off Garden, which has gotten bigger, I don't know if you know this, they've expanded it now. It's gotten much bigger. That sculpture garden, which now actually allows you to walk underwater, you have to actually experience that to really know what I'm talking about. But there really is an attempt to kind of get you back and active, and you're reconnecting the idea of physical activity with a field trip as well is so important. We're going to run out of time here. I want to make sure you get everything in you wanted to say, so you got the final thought here.
Well, I just want people to be able to enjoy every day of their one life, and that's the purpose of the book. I hope they enjoy the stories. The stories are supposed to be inspiring to allow folks to be able to get out and do more and enjoy. And so I hope you enjoy. You can get the book. Can I plug where they can get it, Jimmy? Is that okay?
Please, knock yourself out.
Okay, so they can get it at everydayisafieldtrip.com. The hardcover is there. Or you can get the paperback on amazon.com. I can't guarantee that it's going to be at every bookstore. You know, we have a distribution, but I don't know what those guys do. But those two spots are really good to get the book. And I hope everybody enjoys it. And Jimmy Mack, thank you so much for having me.
Everydayisafieldtrip.com. I promise you, if you go there, it is so easy to navigate. You can actually learn about the author. You can learn about where to get the book. You can also enjoy his blog. He's got a great gallery as well, some lovely pictures of a man who actually understands that every day is a field trip, even if it's to the far corners of the earth. Jay, you are welcome back anytime. There is still so much. We haven't even got to specifics. We got to the basic thrust of it, but we got so much more to talk about. Promise us you'll come back.
Oh, gosh. Any day you ask me, I'm there.
Thank you. Jay Hummer, guys, by the way, please check this book out. It's a great Father's Day gift. Even if they can't get it by Father's Day, you can let somebody know it's been ordered and on the way. This is a great book for dads. It's a great book about dads. It's a great book about family. It's a great book about life and work balance. There is so much more than just a field trip contained in here. It is a lifetime of experience. Every day is a field trip. Escape routine, find fun, and live a more fulfilling life. Its author, Jay Hummer, has joined us this morning. When we come back after this break, Sydney and I are going to chat for a bit, then we're going to reopen the phones. Claire Marie will join us. All kinds of great stuff to come. Peter Stark, and of course, our good friend Dave Weidinger. Nothing but good friends here. 615-292-6366. Start calling around 745.